Tommy is the cat on my lap at the moment. We are recording from a rooftop in Morocco. The set down here, and he chose me as a person. It's my third time in Morocco. Basically, just going to tell you all about Tangier, what we've been doing here. There's a rooster that's been crowing quite frequently and loudly over the last couple of days. Where we've stayed, how much we've paid for things. Pretty much just like what it's like to have 3 days in Tangier. Hello and welcome to another episode of These Corners of the World podcast, travel podcast. I'm your host, Kelly O'Brien. I'm joined today with the lovely Sam, who is behind the camera. You can't see him, but hopefully maybe he'll chime in at some point. We are on the fly today because we are recording not from home. We are recording from a rooftop in Morocco, in Tangier. So you may hear some construction noise behind me. You may hear some chirping of birds. There's a rooster that's been crowing quite frequently and loudly over the last couple of days. You might hear that bird, and I'm not sure if you'll hear him, but you definitely see him. This is Tommy. Tommy is the cat on my lap at the moment. Completely unplanned. I just sat down here, and he chose me as a person to curl up on. This is the cat that is associated with this accommodation. So yeah, today I'm going to talk to you about I guess our few days in Tangier. It's my third time in Morocco. And basically just going to tell you all about Tangier, what we've been doing here, where we've stayed, how much we've paid for things, pretty much just like what it's like to have 3 days in Tangier. We came from Malaga a few days ago, and the Ryanair flights we took were 30 euro per person return, which was pretty good. Of course, you know, there are some hacks that you can do to not bump up that price. Ryanair will want you to get like a bag and stuff. But if you only have like a small backpack like we do, then, you know, you can pretty much keep that price at the same as they're actually selling it. There is another option. If you do have luggage, you can go to Tarifa and get the ferry. So the ferry is around, do you know, Sam? I think it's about 30 euro one way. So it's about twice as expensive as the flights that we found, and we didn't have baggage. So that's why we chose to go from Malaga directly. Plus, I live in Malaga most of the year, so it was easier to get to the airport. But you can go from Tarifa on the ferry. It takes an hour and you get to the port in Tangier. And apparently it's pretty reliable, pretty good. It's not crazy expensive. For us, it was better to get the flight, but you can get the ferry as well. We checked into this accommodation with this lovely cat. The accommodation is called Dar Slimane. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I'll write it in the description anyway. It was 180 euro total for about 3 nights for 2 people. Sam is looking at me now because it's higher than I told him it was, but I made a mistake earlier. So that works at around 30 euro per person per night, which is pretty good, to be honest. We didn't get the rate with breakfast included. I don't think there was one. But when we got here, the owner, Rashid, said, you know, we're just going to make you breakfast every day anyway, which was like super nice. And I had seen in the comments that people had experienced that before, which is also why I maybe booked that place. I found it on booking.com. And yeah, it's been really good. Like, it's a beautiful place. You can see the rooftop at the moment. We're staying just one floor down. There's a couple of different levels and it's a dar. But I think it's also maybe like kind of a riad. So when you come to Morocco, you'll find that there are a few different types of accommodations. You can get like your typical hotel room. You can get an Airbnb, or you can get like a dar or a riad. And those are typically found in the old Medina. It's like the old town of any Moroccan city really that you go to. And the Medina is a really good place to stay, I would say, because it's like all these winding streets and it's like quite traditional and quite authentic. Like, if you want that kind of experience, which you probably do, I would advise everybody to stay in the old Medina if they can, in a dar or in a riad. And the defining feature of those is that they're kind of like in a square or rectangular shape. So there's a central, what would you call it? Like a vent or a court, not a courtyard, but like there's the rooms are all like in a square around, what would you call it?
It's around a courtyard or a skylight.
Around a courtyard or a skylight. Yeah, fair enough. I knew you would chip in at some point. So it's like a very traditional type of Moroccan house. In Tangier specifically, it's different to other Moroccan cities that I've been to. I've been to Marrakesh and I've been to Fez. And here, because it's at the north and it's on the coast, it's very influenced by Spanish culture, whereas the rest of Morocco isn't necessarily influenced by Spanish culture. They would be influenced more like French culture. They speak a lot of French. But in the north, they actually also speak a lot of Spanish. So, you know, if you come here and you speak English, Arabic, French, or Spanish, like, you'll be pretty fine. What else? So we got here. We were getting in late-ish, not crazy late. So we went for dinner that first night, and that was pretty much it. And we went to a place called Ahlen. And Ahlen in, I don't think, is it Arabic? The word, it's not Arabic. Is it? Specific form of Arabic, though.
Moroccan Darija.
Darija. Moroccan Darija, apparently. And it means welcome. But in, you know, in everyday, you would hear welcome being marhaba. So, you know, that's the difference there. But it was a beautiful restaurant, and I would say to go there, it's more like a cafeteria type of vibe. It's not like cozy. I couldn't describe it as cozy, but the food was really good. And I would advise people to go there because they do this really cool thing with the mint tea. So they'll get the mint tea and they'll like, Sam, my editor, will probably cut to the shot right now. But they put the mint tea up really high and pour it from a great height down into the cup. And they make like a great song and dance and show of it, basically, for the tourists. But it's really cool to see. And it's not an expensive place at all. The second night, since we're talking about food, we went to a place called Kebdani. And that was a more cozy vibe. Also great food, very traditional. There are a few things you might want to eat in Morocco. There's a tagine. I had a vegetable tagine and I had vegetable couscous. There's also keftas, which are like skewers. And meatballs with eggs tagine. That was also quite good that I had. So those are a couple. You can get other types of food as well. But, you know, you're in Morocco. You might as well eat some nice traditional Moroccan food. What else? Maybe you can cut this bit out. Oh, yeah. Okay. So the first full day we were in Tangier, we took a walking tour with a guide called Saeed. Again, I'll link it in the description. Saeed is a brilliant, lovely man. It was lovely to have him, you know, show us around. We walked through the Medina, we walked to the Kasbah, which is the fortress, and we walked to the kind of more modern area as well, and the square, and he just was a wealth of knowledge about, you know, the history of Tangier. It was a lot of walking. It was about 3 hours walking. I think it was around 30-something euro each for about 3 hours. It was like 72, 73 euro or something like that. But that was because on that specific day, it just happened to be a private tour that was being offered. You know, the other days, if you had more flexibility with dates, you could have gotten a group tour for not too much less, but like slightly cheaper. But it was really, really good experience. And I would advise people to get a walking tour of like, well, any city in the world, to be honest. When they arrive, because it's a really good way to orientate yourself and you can just know where you're going a bit better after you take a walking tour. Plus you see things from local guides that you wouldn't necessarily see by yourself, you know, cool things like we saw a door, like that doesn't sound very cool, but like we saw this really cool door that had like a lot of intricate things laid into it, like a dagger and like other things, and he explained all the symbolism and stuff. So those kind of things that you wouldn't necessarily see on like a tourist forum or anything, but like they're pretty cool to see and take a photo of and know the history about. Where else? Also, Saeed said that he would basically tailor the tour for whatever you want. So along the way, he asked us some questions like, do you prefer more cultural experiences? Do you prefer more history stuff? Of course, Sam said history and I said culture, so he said we'll do both. But like you can totally tailor a tour to your own interests and stuff. He said he has some repeat customers that come back and they do completely different tours, so there's always that flexibility there. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for Tangier. Really loved it as a city. I think it's a shame that a lot of people come to Tangier just in a day trip. I feel like that would be kind of rushed, and I would advise to stay at least one night in Tangier if you are coming here. One of our 3 days, we went to Chefchaouen. Please correct me if I'm pronouncing that, butchering that. we went with a tour company called Chaouen Tours, And I'm going to basically be a hypocrite now by saying that we got a day tour and like hit and run like there and then back. And I do think that perhaps it was a bit rushed. Perhaps we should have stayed one night maybe. On forums and online, looking ahead before the trip, I had, you know, read there's not too much to see there. You can see everything in a day. But the thing is, you know, yeah, you could see everything in a day, but you're very rushed. You don't have your own time. You can't really, you know, explore at your own leisure, take the photos you want to take. They are very nice guides and they will say like take photos along the way. But I mean, you're on a tour, like you have to chip at some point, like chip. So not to say that the tour wasn't good. It was. And Shaoan Tours is definitely one I would recommend. Like if you're stuck for time, if you are in Tangier only for a limited amount of days like we were, then 100% do it. I think it was €62 each that we got. And it was, I think 7 a.m. we got up. So I think 9 a.m. we met the bus and we drove to Chef Shaoan in about 2 hours. We stopped along the way at a panoramic viewpoint. And when we got to Chef Shaoan, we were met by a tour guide who was local to the area. He was from there. Nofel was his name. And he brought us around. It's like, it's not like high in the mountains, but like in a mountainous area. You okay, Tommy? And in the Rift Mountains. And there are some hills and stuff you'll have to walk up and across and down. But it's like a beautiful mountainous town. And it's known for being blue, basically. So it's called the Blue City of Morocco. It has blue and white walls everywhere. And I think all of the doors in the city are blue apart from one. One was green. The green door, you'd have to look it up, but it's something historically to do with a king who was like incapacitated and he had a wife who then took over the rule. And she was from, was it Tetouan, I think? But she was buried in Chef Shaoan because I think her family had been from there. And that's why it's green, because I think the color of this other city was green. So her burial tomb has like a green door, but everywhere else has a blue door. And it's really aesthetic. You know, you'll take some really beautiful photos there. Don't wear blue, because I saw a few people wearing blue. You would think, you know, I'll match. But like, no, you should wear like a contrasting color or a pastel. Like I wore this and like an orange dress. Perhaps I'll put some photos in at this point. Editing magic. Sam can weave his editing magic here. Yeah, and one thing that Nofel said to me was that the tourism there had really dropped off since the terrorist attacks at the start of October of this year, it's 2024 now, of last year, basically when the war on Gaza started. And, you know, how far away is Morocco from that part of the world? Like very far. But because it's Arabic speaking, I guess people are scared, or I don't really know exactly why, but he said that basically since that happened, tourism has dropped off dramatically and there have been like nothing but cancellations for October, November, December. He said it's picked up for the new year and for Christmas, which is the period that I'm visiting. It's the very first day of 2024, actually. Happy New Year. But who knows if that's going to like just be a seasonal thing and it's going to drop off again, or if it's actually coming back again. So if you're watching this and thinking about going to the north of Morocco, I would say definitely do it. They need your support and it's a beautiful area. I have not seen anything bad at all. I haven't felt unsafe whatsoever. Come to think of it, like there's not even been much pushing of, you know, wares or anything like that in Marrakesh when I went there. Granted, that was many years ago, but I found that people selling stuff were quite pushy and like they weren't taking no for an answer. Not just, you know, buy this, buy that, but like come into my store, like I'll show you here, like I'll carry your bags, that kind of thing. None of that here, basically. You'll have a few people saying, would you like to buy this? Or do you want to come into this restaurant for lunch? All you say is like, no, thanks. And that's it. You know, that's the end of the interaction. So yeah, I would say definitely do come here. It's very safe, very welcoming. Marhaba. Oh yeah, okay. If you are coming here, you might as well learn a few words of Arabic, because I found that people are super, super happy to hear a tourist like just trying to speak a few words. You will be fine if you don't, of course. You'll be totally fine. But if you say a few words here and there, I think the effort goes a long way. So I was saying salam, which is like hi. You can also say salam alaikum. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but that's like, I think, a more formal way of saying hello. The response to that is wa alaikum salam. Shukran is a very useful one, which means thank you. So you'll often be, you know, maybe buying something at a store or, you know, at a restaurant or something. You can say shukran when you're leaving. Besaleme, I probably am butchering that again, but that means goodbye. I haven't used that one so much, shukran, and heading away and saying shukran out the door is probably your best bet there. There's a few other ones like inshallah, alhamdulillah, but like I think that's going above and beyond. So those few words like hello, thank you, goodbye, people will love you for it. I'm going to check my notes and see if there's any more to say. Yeah, pretty much. Would you add anything to that, Sam?
No.
No.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Cool. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll do a short and sweet one this time around because we have a plane to catch, actually, on the way back to Malaga. Oh, Tommy's not going to be happy because Tommy's going to have to move soon. But I hope that everyone enjoyed, and I will see you again for the next adventure. Bye.